Greetings, dear ones. I am Cryon of Magnetic Service. There is appreciation for the energy that is set by the maestro next to me. It is not the first lifetime that he has created sounds. And in this one, he has the tools he's never had before. And the energies that are created is like an invitation to participate in what I would call the esoterics of the millennium. Warms the heart, creates a sound in the air which is multidimensional, helps for communication. And here we sit yet again at a place that is grand, a place that is marvelous to look at, breathtaking to behold, and we ponder. What could have done such a thing? What are the forces at hand? And so again, I'm going to mention some of those forces and draw a metaphor. Some of you have spent time at the beach. If you were lucky like my partner to have been born by the ocean, you know what it's like when the tide rushes out, the ground is uneven. And right before your eyes, as the water rushes back and forth, it cuts something very similar to what you see right over there. And so we'll say it yet again, the Grand Canyon is very old, but the forces that cut it were far grander than what is seen. And the time it took to cut it is far shorter than what the human's bias would imagine. The human sees things in a straight line. A small river over millions of years seemed to have cut something impossible. And that's because it was impossible. Instead, when you look at the sharp angular edges, the differences in the altitudes between the sides, you see that there was a grand dynamic then, a long time ago when the earth was volatile, when things moved greatly and in short amount of time, when literally oceans poured from one area to another in short amount of time, hundreds of years instead of thousands or millions. And so we say it again, the Grand Canyon was cut by oceans racing at tremendous speeds, just like that the child sees at the beach. And if the scientists want to look closely, they will find a delta at both sides, and that means it went in both directions at one time or another. Confusing to the geologists who still wish to straight line it as a small river that cut through the middle. The river was last, and when the river showed up to do its work, the canyon was almost complete. So it's a bias, is it not? So let me apply that right now to what's going on to some of the lives in this room. You have a bias that you're born. And from birth to death, there's that small river called living that would give you problems and challenges, rewards, joy, sorrow, and dole it out in an even way, from top to bottom. And over a lifetime that you would learn how to deal with all of it, and you will have experienced all that you're going to, so that by the time you get to the end, you'd say it was a good ride. And that's not what's happening. Instead, there are those in the room, and those you know, that are having the maximum challenges in this, perhaps in the newest energy of the planet. Like the Grand Canyon, over millions of years and only a few hundred had it built, some of you are receiving the challenges of a lifetime now. Amplified it is, put together it is, and we have an expression for it, and we've said it before. Iron sharpens iron. There is no test put to you that you cannot handle. And the tests will go right to that place that will irritate you the most. And there are reasons. Because God loves you. God loves you enough to put you in this cauldron and to stir it vigorously so that when you're finished, you will come out compassionate, understanding, strong, loving, giving you an idea of what humanity is about. And it changes you, all of you. And some of you sit through health issues. Some of you sit through financial issues. Some of you sit through relationship issues. And they're all in this room. And if you're one who is experiencing this, I will say that the hand of God is upon you. In the arms of the higher self, every single day, surround you and keep you safe. So that you will go through the things that you must go through, make the decisions you must make, and come out stronger than when you went in. All safe, all beautiful, all appropriate. The waters of life are cutting a canyon of wisdom in your soul. And you will never be the same. And some of you know what I mean as you sit here. And let me tell you, we have never been closer than now. The energy needs, the warriors that are being created, the workers that are being created. It is the fast track to what you need as a teacher, as a mother, as a father, as a light worker. Honored it is. Beautiful it is. Appropriate it is. And it won't be forever. There will be an end to it and a time of relaxation. And then people can come visit you and see the canyon of wisdom and wonder, how long did that take? And you can just smile. Not tell them anything. We honor humanity for this. Your willingness to put yourself in the place where Spirit can give you the wisdom of the ages. And so it is. Thank you, William, very much. Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, Pepper Lewis.
I bid you welcome. I bid you welcome. I bid you good day. I bid you good life. I offer you words to bring comfort. And yet more it is that I wish to bring you intrigue. I wish to stimulate certain processes within you so that you will begin to consider the moments that are before you, the moments that are ahead of you, so that you will begin to find within you and about you what is real, what can be realized, in what way, what can be brought about you, what can be brought near to you. You have entered a very small, a very short pause energetically in what is taking place in the earth. It will be a very short pause. And for a very few short weeks, it will seem as if there is very little taking place, almost as if the thought processes do not quite work as they should. Almost as if you can think, but no thought seems truly provocative. No idea seems truly creative. As these moments begin to find their way to you, and they will, it is just temporary. Because as many things begin to evolve within you, through you, in terms of consciousness, there must be a reweaving. And there is a moment, if you can imagine, where an older pattern must find its way to the next pattern. If you will imagine for a moment a train or a train of thought, instead of derailing that thought, it can be linked to the next, it can be linked to the new. But as you might imagine, there may be a pause in how this comes together. So rather than take one of your older thoughts that no longer serve you and dismiss it, I would say to you, let it be for these short weeks. Let the older thoughts simply be. And let you be for a short time, thought or thoughtless, without it occurring to you that there is something wrong, something not working. Because as the new begins to construct itself, to arrange itself accordingly for each of you, it will find new places to engage. And so it is, in essence, a new ignition that comes to ignite a new thought, a new part of you, a new way to think, a new way to arrange how a thought comes together, how a thought is linked to a creative idea. A thought that is linked to a creative idea becomes a new or a next experience. And so you are beginning to arrange yourselves uniquely. You cannot do this without the earth's arranging itself in the same way. You see, until the earth arranges itself accordingly with the other celestial bodies, with other celestial events, your own thoughts cannot arrange themselves. And so there is a moment that you will call a lag time, while the earth remakes its next movement. And so your next movement is timed, synchronously timed, to come into this next arrangement as well. We speak here truly of a matter of weeks, but during these weeks you may feel slightly sluggish, as if some part of you does not move in harmony with the other parts. And all the while that this is taking place, the earth, I tell you, and deep within, makes changes now. Makes changes in the patterning of the earth. And so if you have seen certain imagery of how the ley lines themselves are distributed upon the earth, they are shifting. They are in motion. Imagine a map. Imagine a map in motion. That is what is taking place. Energetically, the energetical map of the earth is in motion. And so all of the points within and without of the earth must have a next or a new correlation. Just after this time of pause will come a time of great movement, of great movement. And so from this great movement then, there will be a moving again of the continents. There will be a moving again of the earth. There will be a moving again in terms of the quaking of the earth and other movements that you call earth changes. And these will accelerate. To the credit, it will not be a great acceleration in terms of severity, but it will be a great acceleration in what you see around the world. So here and there and elsewhere, there will be movements. And you will expect this from all of the elements. You may expect then there to be more activity of fire and ash. You may expect that there will be more activity that will bring torrential rains of benefit in some areas and not elsewhere. You may expect as well the continued motion of the tornadoes. You will see that the air, the circulation of air and how it is brought together, and there will be more of these in areas around the earth where it is not particularly common. This will bring as well a small, not great, but a small amount of damage to a few of the places round the earth that are considered sacred to you or sacred to others. There are a few shrines round the world that will be affected in this way. Some of these of natural or formed long ago, others man-made and considered great treasures to humanity or great treasures to one culture or religion. Here we do not speak of this Grand Canyon. It is yet to be preserved, for it has much to offer to you, and I will say to you why. But other structures will be affected. Not greatly, in small ways, but enough to touch hearts and enough to scare a few as well. And so there will be some that will be put aside for a time for renovation, to be restructured, to be protected, to be enhanced. And temporarily, these may become unavailable to those that would journey there. For those then who seek journeys such as those that you have made now here, if there be a journey or a quest in your heart, do not hesitate to take that move, to make that journey. For there will come moments in which you will not be able to have access to all places as you do now. For you might imagine that one will take leave from the other. So if one becomes temporarily frightened so that it closes for renovation, others may follow suit. So some of the great world treasures may be set aside for a time. Other certain discoveries will be made that will conflict with the timing associated with other great relics and discoveries that were made long ago. So you will see that there will be a certain amount of argument between the scholars of the world and even between some of the holdings of the great countries, the great collections. And so as one argues or barters with another over a date, over a monument, over the discovery of one truth or another. You will note that you may be able to visit one grand museum in one country, certain that all that you are reading there is accurate and true, and then visit another and note that it would conflict completely in what you see. This also, then, this conjecture, this argument, will lead to the taking away or the removal of some particular artifacts to be studied again, to be protected, to be enhanced. And so you will note that some treasures upon the world begin to disappear, removed. Take note of this. Take note that the world around you changes. Take note of what is yours. Take note of what is shared with you freely, what is lent to you. And when those things are significant or important to you, seek them, draw them into your life, study them with your own countenance, with your own wisdom, and see what comes. Because indeed, history is about to be rewritten, as it should be. As it should be. Time is not linear, as you know. It is spiral in nature. It spirals both inward and outward. The future is created at the same time that you are creating your past, relatively speaking. Therefore, truths are made and unmade, as one moment in forward time and counter forward time presents itself. In order to ignite the energies of the new age or the next age, you must change the cycles of time. You must cycle into the new or the next age. It is not simply a matter of changing the calendar. That comes later. It is time that directs the calendars to change, and it is how you relate to time that changes that. And you cannot relate to time differently until the earth relates to time or movement of the solar system, of the solar disk. In other words, the earth now moves into a new cycle, a new spiral of time, timing with the sun, changing the amount of light, focal light or local light upon the earth. The amount of light that is localized or focused upon the earth changes all of the time cycles. It changes the pulse of the earth. It changes the pulse of humanity. It changes the timing of the heart. It changes the timing, the firing of the sequences of your brain of thoughts. This is how you ignite your future. In order to ignite your future, you must also rewrite your past. Undo history. Uncreate certain moments in order to create others. And so this must be stimulus. It must be stimulated within you. It must be ignited. A new timing sequence must be ignited. This begins in and with sun and touches everything in this solar system. Not simply the earth, but yes, the earth's particular cycles of movement as well. Therefore, all that is upon the earth as well becomes accelerated, excited. Atoms, you see, atoms must be excited for them to travel faster, for them to attract another motion, attract the next moment in time. And so the earth then becomes accelerated, impulsed. And the impulses come from the center of the earth, from the core of the earth. The energy that is received from the sun comes to the core of the earth. Cycles, spirals, spins faster, generating the energies that move out from the core of the earth to the earth's surface, remaking the pattern, the ley lines, and stimulating as well movement upon and within the earth. The movement of the earth then stimulates everything. Every thought, every process, every idea, every system, every direction that you can consider. Everything that you believe is real. Everything that you believe is worthwhile. Those things that you feel passionate about. Those things that stimulate value to life. This is what now begins after this pause. And so what becomes important again is the value of life. To value life itself. This must be stimulated, it must be organized within you. This is when you will begin to see as well the next reorganization of the physical structure of your physiology. Your physiology must, in some ways, reorganize itself as well. Otherwise, it will not take that next momentum. There is little you need do, for the question often comes. Gaia, if this be true, what do I do about it? What can I do about my this, or what can I do about my that? Give value to all those things that are precious to you. Note them. It is notable. It is a notable time upon the earth. Value comes not in the tomorrow. Value is not in the 2012. Value is how you go about organizing the preciousness of life. Because without that, it means precious little what you do or what you think. And during the great exchanging of energies, there are many things that fall away. And one of the reasons that they fall away is simply for lack of care, for lack of being noticed, for lack of being loved, for lack of being taken up. So it is an important time to nurture those things, all things, matter of fact. And you will be impulsed to do this. You will be impulsed from within. You will have new thoughts strategically placed within you to activate unique and specific moments within you. And these will energize the next truth or the next packet of truth, the next chapters of truth. And they will present themselves to you in very quick order. You need only follow them. Where will these come from then? If some of these sacred sites are closed to you so that you do not have access, these are access points, and other aspects of your histories are removed, what comes then? How do you organize, reorganize a life or a choice or a next step? And in essence, it is that you will continue to have even more assistance in this, stimulating from within. One part from your true and natural ancestry. Another part from your true and natural future. You see, the last several years, in some ways have been artificially placed. You have been in an artificial mode, knowing that the new or the next comes. working your way to that or through that, waiting for this sign or that symbol or the next teacher or the next truth. That cycle within the cycle is nearly complete now. And so comes the time of volition. The time of volition means that you voluntarily move into the next phase, the next directorship. And in order to have volition, there must be an impulse, that which impulses volition. Another word for volition is will. Not simply willpower, but true and divine will, the divine order of will. Divine will inspires you. Little else truly inspires you. Yes, you are moved to do this or to be that or to create certain projects or ideas. But divine will or true inspiration is impulsed. It is born. You do not stumble upon it. You earn its right. You become its director. And with certain companionship, you are guided into and through this time of volition. And where do the energies then that have to do with inspiration and volition come from? Well, indeed, they come from certain areas such as this and where you place yourself near and about them. You see, it is no secret that in some of the very deepest places upon the earth and beneath the earth, as well as some of the very highest, tallest places upon the earth, energy is both stored, amplified, and protected. And so this great canyon where you place yourself near and about now is no exception. Here, within its depths and beneath it as well, are stored a great deal of truths, a great deal of more complete, accurate histories, moments, some very, very exact. And some and more of these will come to light as well. In the very deepest places, in gorges such as this, energy gathers. Energy gathers and wisdom remains protected there. It is a sacred place. It is a protected place. And it is protected only by that which is the Gaian library. It is a library, a protected library, not of secrets, but of those sacred things that have gathered over millions of years. And if you like, you may think of this area as having several different libraries and only some of these being revealed, a small amount at a time. For the histories of this land are varied. And although it may seem to you as if it was all created at once, a long, long time ago, it is not so. As your dear companion Kryon has already alighted to. Over specific times in different eras, some libraries have been opened and others closed, natural libraries made of sand and stone and minerals and records. For here this canyon remains a record keeper of the earth, and for humanity as well. During times of great drought, the wisdom is less, and so it is protected or hidden that much more. In some ways, you can tell the true histories of the earth or how much wisdom can be dispersed based upon the elements themselves and how active they are. During times of great drought, of great dryness, There are less secrets that will be revealed. They must be protected from the dust of time. During times of great deluge, flood, when the element of water is most active, is when more of the wisdoms come forward. The water then rewrites. It rewrites time. It erodes away the old. It refreshes. It brings the new. It renews. And so the moments where there are great floods coming, as they are now, in these moments, it is a time of great release. The waters release what they have held. The waters release the emotions. They release from the earth what it has long stored. They release your emotional bodies. They release them. They place them back into the care of your hearts. And compassion is reborn. For in times of great drought, compassion also dries. So you will see now that it is the time of the returning of the rains and the waters and the vapors. You will find that the great recombining of the elements comes forward now, one nurturing the other, agitating the next, an irritation that cannot be overlooked. It cannot be overlooked. And so it is notable that the same will be taking place for the earth and for humanity. Irritations that cannot be overlooked. So that it will come to something within you. Well, what do you do when you are being irritated then? Scratch and itch. Move energy. Make decisions. Make changes. So it is that time. It is the time of acceleration of those things that have become irritable beyond compare. And so within you, you will find points of initiation. Those moments where you say, in this particular subject or in that other one, I can no longer bear this or bear that, and you will make a change. Not because you must, but because you are inspired or impulsed from within, but in a new way and in a directive that cannot be overlooked. You see, that is the nature of end times and beginning times. They simply do not allow you to look away. They do not allow you to say, I'll look elsewhere today and think about that or this again tomorrow. The time of changes then bring universal change. They bring inspiration. And they will inspire one particular teacher or energy or truth to inspire the next. So it is in a time of an apprenticeship. You will find that there are some that have long occupied certain positions, and they will say, it is time for an apprentice. It is time to pass along this truth or this craft onto another, onto the next generation. This will also inspire many changes. Imagine that a father always says, oh, I will pass on this knowledge and my business to the son. I will always do that. And then the son says, but I am not interested in that truth or that business or in following in your footsteps. What will happen then? So change. Change comes from those that will not follow the well-worn path that their ancestors have set for them. They will not follow the well-worn path of older truths that are no longer true. They wish to carve their own, to make their own more true. At the same time, it is a changing of the guard or the guardianship, if you like. And there are many who, in fact, will be inspired to take up new causes that others have put down, to speak words of truth that others would not allow. And those who have held wisdoms deep within them will find that there are the new and the next teachers, and they will pass these on to them. There is older knowledge, sacred knowledge, and in some ways secret knowledge that will come forward now. And when it comes, it will also come in torrents. It will come in a flood. It will come in such a flood that it will confuse and confound and anger some. Why didn't I know this before? Why were we not told this? Why was this withheld from us? Because all things have their time and their timing. And sometimes time is sweet, and sometimes it is bitter sweet. So come moments now, and come truths, and come new teachings and new teachers. And as was said earlier, indeed, if you will watch the earth and watch the stars, because there are those on the stars that watch the earth, which appears as no more than a star from where they are watching. So if those who sit from afar watch the earth and know all that is taking place here now, then begin to look at the stars and the skies around you and begin to imagine all those things that you know are possible, all those things that you had hoped for, all those things that you could imagine that are true on other worlds, and imagine them be true here. Imagine companionship. Imagine greater knowledge. Imagine other resources. Imagine more expanded truths. Imagine setting aside those that are less true in favor of those that are more true, and you will accelerate the process. So the moment that is present now, after this short pause, is a very active one. In some ways, I would say to you, enjoy this short pause. For the time of activity that comes now, it is strenuous. It will ask of you much, which is no more than to be yourself. But it will ask you to be the complete self, the one that you have been asking for, the one that you have been wanting, the one that you have been studying for. It will ask that of you. You will ask it of yourself. Comes then a time of courage, in small ways and large. A time to see what is put before you. To see with eyes that are unique and different. Eyes that see real, or at least a different reality. Your brain, your mind, it must be taught to see differently. Otherwise, you will not see differently. If you were not impulsed from within to see differently, you would not. You see those things that are true of this world. You believe those things that are true of this world and the histories associated with it. Now I will invite you to see with different eyes and to surrender at least some of your beliefs in favor of other new ones, open-ended ones. It is an open time then. It is important. You may begin to think of yourselves already in a time tunnel, if you like. And surprising as it will seem to you, as you are making your way down or through the tunnel, you will see some making their way back. And you will turn to them and you will say, "No, no, look, we are going this way. We are all moving in this direction. We have always been wanting to move in this direction. Look, that is the light. That is the new age." And they will hang their heads, but for a moment, and they will pass you by, and some will say, "Not for me," or "Not now," or "Not yet." Or you will see them more in shadow than in light, and they will pass you by. And they will be saying their truth, for they will not be able to see beyond a certain point, and it is important that you do. It is important that with a new mind and new eyes and a vision for the future, that you see beyond that point At the point where it seems as if all things are no more or all things are at an end, that is the point where the lens of light begins to truly see. The lens of light that has let light, sound reflect to it and within it from the greater cause and the causes of long and longer ago. So that it is a time, in fact, of renewal. And where you are able to do that on a daily basis, it becomes more and more important. Renew a truth. If you have made a covenant with yourself to uncover or discover the greater parts and places within you, renew that. If you have made a promise, if you have taken an oath, to remain aware or awake or alert, revisit that. Replace that where it matters most. If you had promised yourself that you would feel everything, no matter what, do that. Fulfill. Fulfill the promises that you have made to yourself in this lifetime. Fulfill the promises that you have made to others. Fulfill the commitments to the sweetness of life. Revitalize the life. Value, revalue the life. Not by the amount of years that you have already lived, but by those that are before you, knowing that if you measure time in a different way, there are a vast more number of years before you. Revalue that. Revisit the ideas that you have held about how long a life is, how creative it is, or what is the meaning or purpose of life. Be at peace in the decisions that you make. Do not be at war with yourselves. Do not take yourselves to bed in conflict with your thoughts, with your ideas. Whole, complete, is what you are. Let your thoughts be of one mind, of one heart. For these impulses will continue within you, and you will feel moments of challenge. But as I have said before, challenge need not be adversity. Be creative in your challenges. Do not look to your life as simply something that you are bearing up to, something that you are holding up rather well. Follow the greater laws, not the smaller ones. Follow the greater truths. The smaller ones will make their way to you and through you. It is a moment in time, but it is a moment that is out of time. For at this very moment that you are living in, at the moments that come near an end now, you will see that many things seem out of context, out of order. Let it be. Let those things that are out of order shuffle themselves back into place or back into the background. Let the very best of you come forward. Let the uniqueness that you are be what you see and what you share with others. Let the life that you are and that you live be one that is worthwhile for now and always. For this next time that you are in now is one that you will look back upon. You will look back upon it as both an ending and a beginning. And since it is both, it is well that you write it well. It is not simply something that comes to an end and then, well, I was done with that. It is both. It is your ending. It is your new beginning. Write it well and live it better than that. Look for those words and symbols that are true. Speak of them in nature, in natural ways. Follow the deep yearnings of your heart. until the next moment brings us together. I bid you a fond, a dear, and passionate good day, good life.